Good morning, everyone. I trust you are safe and sound and hopefully had a booster shot. Today's gospel story reminds us of God's overflowing love for us. May that boost our hope, faith, and love for him and our neighbors. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
God's love fills our hearts to overflowing with joy. And so we unite our hearts and minds in God's presence to find comfort and hope for our pain. God's grace wipes away our tears and knits us together as one people. And so we unite our prayers and praises in God's presence to worship God in faith and truth. The word of God from Psalm 36. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the clouds.
Your righteousness is like the strong mountains, your justice like the great deep. You save both man and beast, O Lord.
How priceless is your love, O God! Your people take refuge under the shadow of your wings.
They feast upon the abundance of your house. You give them drink from the river of your delights.
For with you is the well of life, and in your light we see light.
Continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your favor to those who are true of heart.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The Gospel according to St. John. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk, but you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The changing of water into wine is a fairly well-known miracle of Jesus. But unlike most of the miracles we have recorded between the four Gospels, this miracle is a bit different. Not because it gave rise to the Liquor Control Board of Galilee, neither because Jesus' mother may have encouraged him to do it. This miracle is different because it's not a critical one. No one was sick. No one was hungry, no one was blind, well, possibly blind drunk if all the wine gave out. No one was deaf or lame, no one was in fear of drowning or anything. This was no 911 call, "We're smashing through the roof of your house so you can heal someone who can't walk." This particular miracle of turning water into wine is only recorded by St. John, and we're told by the author that this was the first sign that Jesus did. Now if it was the first sign, the first miracle, then it must be significant. The sign must be pointing us to something, showing us something, leading us to some deeper meaning. Sound familiar? Well, we are in the season of Epiphany, the season of revealing and manifestation. Perhaps that's our first clue. The first significant aspect of this miracle is that it is a revelation. As one priest said, to simple shepherds, God sends an angel. To the wise who scrutinize the skies, he sends a star. To Jews concerned with signs, he turns water into wine. This miracle reveals the true identity of Jesus as the Messiah, the Chosen One, the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. It wasn't critical. This was not a miracle of healing or saving from peril. But to the few who realized what happened, it would give them a glimpse of Jesus' divine nature. There was no hand-waving or special words, just simple instructions. Only Blessed Mary, the disciples who were likely sitting with Jesus, and the servants would have even known what had happened. But to those who did, and for us who hear about it, it reveals the divine nature and power of Jesus. This is no ordinary guy. The second significant aspect of this first miracle in St. John's Gospel is that it demonstrates to us the extravagance and abundance of God's love. Jesus didn't just provide enough. He turned their scarcity into plenty. What was empty was now full, overflowing with lavish provision. The amount spoken of in the text is immense. We're talking having a dinner party and one of your guests showing up with a truck of about 800 bottles of plonk, and not the baby duck, blue nun, or black tower that you'd been drinking, but the best champagne money can buy. There's no scrimping and penny pinching in the kingdom of God. This is quality and quantity. We see this abundant provision again with the feeding of the 5,000 in chapter 6. People given food as much as they wanted and with 12 baskets left over. It's reminiscent of the most famous of the Psalms, number 23. God spreads a table before us and our cup overflows. To coin a familiar Anglican phrase, what God provides is more than we can ask or imagine. The new wine of God's kingdom is better than anything we know. A third significant aspect of this first miracle in St. John's Gospel is that it appears to point towards the ultimate victory of Jesus through his saving passion on the cross and his defeat of death. The signs are perceptible in the text. If you think about it, this is the first supper where water is changed into the best wine. Later in the Gospel, we will read of the last supper where wine is transformed through Christ to the blood of the new covenant. Again, if you listen to the dialogue between Jesus and his mother Mary in response to her concern, Jesus says that his hour had not yet come. Later, of course, we find out what hour he was talking about. Furthermore, in St. John's Gospel, this is the first sign or miracle out of seven. The seventh, the last one, is the raising of Lazarus from death to life in chapter 11. And it's probably not a coincidence that this second chapter of St. John with this particular miracle begins on the third day. We learn later in the Gospel of the fundamental importance of what takes place on the third day, the resurrection of Jesus. Friends, the saving victory of Jesus through the cross and resurrection are clearly implicit in this miracle. An apparent failure transforming to success, from apparent emptiness to fullness, from death to new life. A wedding banquet is where this first sign takes place, and it points towards the wedding banquet of the Lamb of God, to which we are all invited. Friends, may we find encouragement and strength in the knowledge of God's overflowing love for us. May we be uplifted and assured that what we experience here and now is only a foretaste of the heavenly banquet prepared for God's people. Most of all, may this miracle story remind us of God's victory in Christ, and that he invites each of us, by name, to come to his table. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us, by prayer and intercession, with thanksgiving, make our requests to God. For the unity of the Church in witness and proclamation of the Gospel, for Todd, our Bishop, and for the parish family of Trinity Simcoe, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace and stability of all peoples, and for the leaders of the nations, for people affected by natural disasters, poverty, and disease, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For places of work, education, and leisure, that people remain safe and healthy, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For a blessing on our homes, for our relations and friends, and all whom we love, especially those we long to see and embrace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the sick and suffering, and all who minister to their needs. On our parish prayer list, we pray for Angela, Bart, Pam, Rick, Christine, Jamie, Peter, Anne, Angie, Rudy, Snea, Andrew, Jim, and those only known to you as well as those on our long-term prayer list. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the communion of saints and the recently departed, may their souls and the souls of all the departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Let us commend ourselves and all for whom we pray to the mercy and protection of God. Amen. Lord of the wedding feast, take our hearts of stone and flood them with new wine, so that we may savour the daily miracles that reveal your Son in our midst, Jesus the Christ. Amen. And let us pray with confidence as our Saviour has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God, from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, for ever and ever. Amen. And Christ, the Son of God, perfect in you the image of his glory, and gladden your hearts with the good news of his kingdom, and the blessing of God Almighty, The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and all those you love and serve, this day and always. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God.